Bless you, brothers and sisters. We want to also welcome our overseas online brethren that's joining us. Let's just bow our heads as we approach the Lord for the sharing of the word. Amen. Father, we thank you, God, for thy love and thy care, God. We truly are blessed and honored, O God, to gather once again to come before thy feet. Lord, this morning, O God, as we approach your word, may you help us, O God, to learn from thee. I pray, Lord, that you anoint, Lord, the speaker and also bless the listeners. Father, we are here to learn from you, O God. Take away all our weaknesses, our faults, and all our shortcomings. May we have that love of God. And as the song goes, O God, we are always looking towards Calvary. Father, truly, Lord, this morning, O God, I pray that thou help me to bring forth your word, and may you bless each and every one of us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this morning, my topic for today is, how can we be a real Christian? So I'd like to present it from five portions. Firstly, we take a look at salvation from God's standpoint. Then after that, we take a look at salvation from your position as a man, as a sinner, or as a believer. Next, we look at our fellowship with God. Right? And then after that, I will also touch on in that our fellowship with God's people. And following that, the fourth portion I want to touch on is our testimony to others and our responsibility. And lastly, along with that, I will touch on our spiritual food that we have. Then lastly, I will touch on our helper. Okay? So let's go into Psalms 42, verse 7. As the deep calls unto the deep at the noise of your water falls, all your waves and billows have gone over me. We all know in Psalms 42, verse 7, it is the love of God, the Spirit of God that calls to us. Right? And when He calls us, deep within us, we will know that He is calling us and we will respond. And when we take a look at an unbeliever, God is always, when He created mankind, it is His intention to be our Heavenly Father, the Almighty God, to be a Savior and to help us to have a relationship with us. But some of us, when we are a sinner, when we are asking ourselves our relationship with God, to the even the unbelievers, the thing that will hit them when we try to testify to them about God is their conscience. They are always in denial of the things that they have done wrong, and they just couldn't be brave enough to admit, right, that they are in sin and they need a Savior. And it's very sad that nowadays there are a lot of atheists that don't believe in a God. And we as a child of God, it is for us, the very life that we have is a testimony to each and everyone that whatever we do it all for the glory of God. And our life is a testimony to everyone how we should show forth the love of God, the grace and the mercy of God, and God is calling to each and every one of them. Now, if someone is not familiar about this relationship, when he is in trouble, he will be in desperate situation trying to find, what can I do? So the life that we have, the testimony that we have, is to tell them that if you don't acknowledge that there is a God, when you are in desperation and you're really at your wit's end, you know what they will do? They will cry to the unknown God, right? Because they have nothing else to do. They'll be asking. But because they are unable to connect and they are in refusal to acknowledge God exists, and that will create a problem for them where this conscience in them is telling them that whatever you do, you kill somebody, correct? That murder that you have done will haunt you. So the conscience in every human being, right, will eat into them. But the scary part is when they don't have this awareness and they refuse to acknowledge God, you find that they will actually come up with all kinds of excuses. We go to the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 15. Reading from the New King James Version, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness between themselves, their thoughts, accusing or excusing them. So when a sinner or someone is in denial, right, and they refuse to be reconciled with God, deep in their mind they'll have all kinds of reasonings and excuses they can give. But we all know that in Romans 3:23, God said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it is also written in chapter 3, verse 10 of Romans, there is none righteous, no, not one. And in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 53:6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here, in Isaiah 53, God has provided the salvation on the cross of Calvary and laid all our iniquity on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in God's mercy and grace that he has given us this privilege to give us a way to come to him. It is not possible for sinners to approach God. There's no way they can be able to come into the presence of God. But God has provided this, and God is always speaking to them in their mind, in their heart, to tell them that whatever sin they continue to do, right, they will be, the conscience will eat into them. And God is always telling them, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the formula, right, is the faith that we must have. So this, for a unbeliever, the position that God has is, has been always the same. He is more than willing, right, to reach down to show his love for you and to forgive you, if only, right, the unbelievers will take that stand. We can find that in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And in Psalms chapter 27, verse 10, he will say, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Truly, our God is a God that is always willing. Just like the story, the parable of the prodigal son. All you have to do is to realize the kind of condition you're in and come back to him. He's more than willing to actually restore you and bring you back into the fold. So, the work to solve this problem of this sin, this world that is full of wickedness, this iniquity, is all done through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must know that. And truly, God has given us that solution. So the next part which I want to touch on is your position with regards to salvation that is presented to you. Just like the jailer, right, when the earthquake and he thought all the prisoners were free, he actually was surprised that Paul and Silas were still there, right? And he asked, what must I do to be saved? There is something and a responsibility to the person when he is actually shown this conscience that he needs to take a stand, right? And he has to do his part. In the salvation of God, It is nothing difficult. God has promised that. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not yourself. It is the gift of God. Got nothing to do with you, but it's what God has done. So if that's the case, then on our part, what is it that we need to do to get this salvation? So the childlike faith to accept and trust God to hold us through, and we have to really know that responsibility. You find that faith, if you are not even knowledgeable about this truth, about this salvation, how can you have faith? You need to have the knowledge or the understanding. Right? And then from there, you have to believe on it. If not, there's no result. You can hear a testimony, you can be envious of someone who's a child of God, how much God has helped him out. But if you still don't do anything, you are literally like letting the opportunity go without realizing that the Spirit of God is calling you. So this response when we hear the Word of God, when we hear the salvation plan of God, is something that we have from the knowledge. It has to come into an understanding, and you got to make a decision. Correct? So this is something where the saving faith needs to be exercised. I can read the Word of God. I can know a lot of things. I have knowledge. But knowledge puff up. What we need is the love of God in us to really live the life and be like our Lord Jesus Christ, to reach out to those who are really in need. Look at the woman that was caught in adultery, correct? Everyone thinks that they are more righteous. But the Lord gave a very simple command. He who have no sin, let him lay the first stone. And one by one, the conscience eat into them. And it begins with the most senior, right? Who are we to judge a sinner? So here, it's the same. The exercising, the sinner who wants to accept God, got to have that realization. And he has to go down on his knees to actually thank the Lord for what he has done and paid for him and accept it. There's no such thing as born into a family of God and you're automatically saved. You have to know that you must realize and accept the salvation that God has given you. That experience, that realization must come on you. So faith involves a decision. It involves us to acknowledge what God has done and know that God is still on His throne. He's still the same yesterday, today and forever. What He has done in the past, in the apostolic days, even right now, He's the same God. And what we need to do is, as a child of God, we need to recognize the plan of God and our part in role, which I will cover later. So here, coming back to the decision that you must make, you can have a knowledge, understanding, your faith needs to be exercised. After you have made that decision, then you will realize that you need to repent from your sin, right? Repent and be baptized. So this is something that when we understand our position, when God deals with us, even with a sinner, the same thing stands. You need to make a decision and you need to understand and acknowledge and repent from our sin. So there are situations where they can go in a wet sinner, a sinner go in, get baptized, come out, still a sinner. That's not salvation, right? So it is true that if we do not exercise our faith and be convicted of our sin and repent, that position that we are in, you will realize that there's no way you can actually gain that experience. So I was reading this story where this man was... the Lord was calling this sinner, and he was at a church and they were praying about it, and then he realized, and then he moved forward and we prayed. Right? Then the pastor prayed away, man. But when he, after finished praying, accepting everything, he go out, he still had that same guilt, that same situation. Only when he went home, right? And when he, the Lord just revealed to him and he suddenly hit him, right? And the Lord convicted him. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you, right? And it is something that will convict him, and that's where he recognized and realized all the promises that he has done. So despite the knowledge, the understanding of what needs to be done, your experience is important. That experience can only come when you take a stand and you believe and you hold God at His word. Correct? If you don't do that, then how are you going to gain the experience? Okay? It's like a story of telling an unbeliever that he is suffering from a very serious illness at a point of death, you know, and then the relative says, "Oh, we found a very famous doctor and he can treat you." Right? And then you come and he check, yeah, this medicine can heal you. Correct? You can have all this. But what must that patient do? He must take it, right? He must take the medicine. You can tell him that this will cure you. But deep inside, this sinner or this person, he has to accept and exercise that faith and trust God. So that faith, that knowledge that they have, is something that we all must know that we need to exercise it. And hold God at His promise, God will honor you and will give you that experience. So in like manner, we can say that, you know, oh, I can do all my plans. I want to have big things. I want to travel to Europe. You know, then I bought the ticket, everything planned for. You will never get to Europe if you don't board the plane, right? Right? So it's the same thing. So the decision, your position that you're taking, be it salvation, be it your walk with the Lord, are you going to make a stand for God? Correct? It's the same. Once you exercise that, you will realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is calling each and every one of you, or every sinner, to come on board the salvation, the ship of salvation that He has given to all of us. All they have to do is to really accept that, make a decision, exercise that faith, do your part, hold God at His word, right? Right? And God will honor it. So, this thing about holding God at His word, the same promises that God has given to everyone, the word of God is still the same. It's the same word of God, right? In the Old Testament, New Testament, and the same promise. The person behind the word of God that God is keeping this is our great Almighty God. So what is required of us? How much faith do we have in the promises of God's word and to hold God at His word so that we can believe, right? And God can honor it. So that portion is something that we must know. The Lord can say, you know, we can preach, you know, the preacher can preach. But if the sinner do not take a stand and hold on to that and believe and exercise it and honor God's word, right? Keep God's word. Now, we know that salvation is based on faith and believing the promises of God's word in the Bible. You cannot be expecting God to every time do a miracle and then you can be saved. You know what I'm saying? Your life is not a life of miracles and you every day got to see a miracle, then your faith will be energized. Right? There's something wrong with that kind of understanding of your experience and your walk with God. So individually, you must know, trust God. Right? If God promises it and His word said it, the faith that we have, we must exercise it and believe it and obey it. Correct? So that is something that we must know, that the position that we are in for a sinner to accept God. Next, I want to touch on our fellowship with God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. A reading from verse 19 to 22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Here, the Apostle Paul was talking about the privilege as a child of God, your fellowship with God. We have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covering us, and we have that access in this new life, and how God has consecrated us to permit us to enter into the veil, to the Holy of Holies. And this is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is a high priest over this house of God. Each and every one of us is a child of God, and we are part and parcel of the house of God. So we, as a child of God, need to draw nigh with our true heart, in full assurance of the faith that we have, and always be aware, right, that we are cleansed from all these evil things that God has cleansed us, and given us this opportunity to experience the fellowship with Him. If we can turn to chapter 4 of Hebrews, reading from verse 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. So, the fellowship that God has promised us is talking about the opportunity for us to go and fellowship with Him. And it is God's desire that every child of His will come, and He treasure that relationship. He came into the Garden of Eden to look for Adam and Eve, right? To fellowship with them in the evening. So here, for us, the only thing that always hinders this fellowship with God is when we have broken it with unconfessed sins. Okay? So, this importance of us as a child of God to maintain the fellowship with God is to be aware of how the enemies can break your relationship with God by making you have unconfessed sins. And that will trouble you and take that joy of the Lord with you. Okay? So, this is something that we must be aware of and be conscious of. You can find in Psalms 51, verse 11 to 17, where we know of King David, how he felt after he had sinned against the Lord, and he cried unto the Lord for the restoration of his relationship. We can read that. Psalms. Okay. I got it. Psalms 51, verse 11 to 17. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it, but thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. So the relationship and the growth and the walk that we have is always a path of trial and testing. But God promised us that He will not let any temptation come to us that is beyond what we can are able to bear. Right? But with every trials and testing that comes our way, it will trigger in you. It always goes back to the basics. Do you
you,
right,
accept the Lord and give your life and your will to Him. If you didn't,
right,
then what is it that you are hiding? What is it that you are not surrendering? So when trials and testing come your way, King David made that mistake. But one thing King David always do is he confessed his sin and he repented and he cried to the Lord. But for us, it's the same in our journey with the Lord. Do you remember God says that He is the captain of our suffering? You know, the Lord came and He, in order to be qualified to die on the cross, the amount of suffering that He has to go through at the Garden of Gethsemane to give up all His will and the pain that He has to suffer to go through, at any point in time along that way, He can always just command the angels to rescue Him and prevent Him from going through the suffering and the pain at Calvary. So, why is it that we are always, the word to use is, in our Christian walk with the Lord, right, we always thought is, when we first had that joy of salvation and restoration of the Lord, we thought every day will be like that. But that's not true, right? Why? Because each and every one of us is expected to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit can never bear in you if you don't surrender your will and surrender your life to Him. And why you got to end up with so much pain and suffering, it is actually God is asking you, are you willing, right, to surrender your whole life to Him and submit to Him? Then to come and come up with your own will, right, of doing things. So here, it is important for us to recognize that the fellowship with God, the joy of the salvation, when it is a loss, we have to always be aware that this fellowship is for us to sustain. And how is this possible? It can only be possible when you have Christian fellowship, when you have a church, when you have assembly to help you along. Okay? It can be within your family. It can be within the church community or the community at large. So here, we must be aware that we mindful of our effort that we must do as a child of God, as a believer of God, to engage in prayer, in reading the Word of God, and maintaining this fellowship with Him. The Lord promised us in John chapter 15, verse 11, says, "This thing have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." So, God promised us that He's always willing to have this fellowship with us, and let us have that joy. But for us, we got to know that it is a path of walking with Him, and a path of what is required of us to maintain this. We also turn to John chapter 15. I want to read from verse 4 to 5. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Here, the process of maintaining the fellowship with God is all very well shared here by the Lord about the vine and the branches. You need to, the branch, we are like the branch being grafted in into the tree of life that the Lord has given, and we need to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is important. If you cannot abide, it's not possible for you to bear the fruits. So to have believers who cannot bear the fruit of for the Lord, right, as we know in Galatians 5:22, all the fruits of the Spirit, is because they cannot abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, you realize that this whole process of learning, of experiencing for us, right, to surrender our life to the Lord, to learn to
daily, right, dwell in the Word of God, to abide in Him, so that we can always let God lead us. It's not just a one-off leading, but it's a constant leading of the Lord throughout your lives. We know that in the book of Isaiah chapter 5, where God was talking about His plan for the children of Israel, the vineyard that He has done, He chose the best vine, He did the best for the vine to grow, but in the end, the children of Israel become a wild grapes, you know. So God is giving us that same promise, the joy of the Lord, the word of the Lord, that wonderful experience of His Spirit guiding us. It is always there, but the problem is for us, the branch. We are the branch. There's something that we have to do. There's something that we need to take precaution, right? And actually learn to stay in the Word of God. Satan can very easily come and spoil your love or your presence of God, right? By insulting you or getting someone to hurt you. It's very easy. But for us, when we have the mind of God and the Spirit of God in us, it is always the love of God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we look towards to maintain that peace, right? If God can forgive us, what is it, right, to us to even forgive someone that hurts us? So this is something that we also must be aware. Then, in this same parable, there's something that is also very interesting. The Lord, right, the vine, the tree, he needs the branches to bear fruit. Correct? So the vine needs each and every one of you, right, as the branches, right, to do your part for the whole vine tree to bear fruits. So our responsibility, our part to play is we have to keep on holding to the Lord and also compliment the Lord by showing forth what does the Lord want us to do to bear the fruits. You realize that the parable of the rich man and the poor man, and then in hell, the rich man was telling God to send an angel to tell his brethren, you know, so that they will turn away from their lifestyle. But God says they have the prophets there, right? If they don't believe them, even if they send an angel, they also won't believe. So what I'm going to say is that the life that we have, right, that we walk, God wants us to bear the fruits, to be a testimony, to abide in Him, and do what we can for the kingdom of God. Later I will touch on our responsibility. Okay? But essentially, the parable of the vine and the branches complement one another. And God wants us to do that. If you realize that each and every one of you, right, is the light that God is using to save the sinner, right, to help one another, all the more, right, we should maintain this fellowship with God and hold on to the Lord. It is very easy to destroy, right, and to create confusion. But it's very hard to hold on and do it for the Lord. Okay? Right. Then? So, when we talk about the need to maintain this consistent fellowship and achieving victory, I'm not talking about big things that you have to do. I'm talking about consistency and discipline. We are talking about to maintain this fellowship with God and to keep having this, your daily quiet time, right? Your daily habit that you are doing. Do you have a habit, right, to spend time, okay, with God at the beginning of the day and spend time with God at the end of the day? The beginning, of course, is to worship the Lord for another day that He has given to us, right? But the end is to tell the Lord, please forgive us if I have let you down, and then you give me an opportunity, I did not testify for you. Correct? So here we are talking about this. We are human, right? So when you want to train a human being, you got to have discipline and consistency. The more you do it, the easier you become. So if you find it very hard to start the day with half an hour prayer, then try 15 minutes. You find it very hard to do a 15 minutes and then, please be fair to God, correct? Why? Because if you don't maintain consistency and you don't start like that, okay, it's very easy to be too busy for God. Okay? And that's what the devil likes to do. The rush of the day, right, will always take away your time, your relationship, that you are walking with Him every day, every moment of your life. There's 1,001 things to do, right? Yeah, your work. But for us, don't let the rush of the day deprive us as a child of God, especially the morning quiet time, and also your evening prayer with God. Forgiveness should be sought when we have anything that we have done, we realize that it is displeasing and not right with God. I must say that when we are still in these 5 senses in this body, correct, it is very easily for us to get into angry, hurt, or this. So we have to actually really seek for forgiveness, because that will automatically take the presence of God away from you, and you got to confess to the Lord and repent. Right? Then the most important is the prayer. Okay, and it's not just a short prayer. We're talking about your continual communion with God. Right? So this is something that we all need to tap on the source for our victory, for our Christian walk to bear the fruits for the Lord. Okay? So this fellowship with the Lord, prayer is going to help us and change our environment. Okay? Then next is the success of your Christian life is really that relationship that you maintain. It's as simple as that. How much time you put in for God, that's where you get that blessing in return. Okay, the next part that I want to talk on is the fellowship with God's people, right? Now, in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And in chapter 25 of Proverbs, verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And the third one, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 to 25 says, make no fellowship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your souls, to thy soul. So the choosing of the fellowship with God's people is very important. If you keep on going back to someone that is not even a Christian and trying to build up your spiritual life fellowshipping with an unbeliever, it won't work. Okay? So God here is saying in the book of Proverbs, we need to really choose brothers and sisters in Christ that are helping us in maintaining this spiritual walk, encouraging us to pray, encouraging us to move forward with God. Right? So the wisdom, right, to maintain this fellowship with God's people is important. If you don't do that, you find that they will pull you away and sway you to all other things than the things of God. Like they will bring you for movies or go and talk about their drinking or this. Right? So for us, be wise, right? Your fellowship with your Christian brethren, choose them. Go for those who love to do Bible studies and winning souls and doing more for God, right? Okay, so that is important. And it is like, I want to give a testimony of when I was in China doing this, my work posted me there. And then on the first day I was there, immediately after the meetings, all of them want to go to the pub and go for a massage. Right? So I do not want to join them. But my boss was trying to pressurize me. Say, if you don't join them, right, then we're not going to get the transport to send you back to the hotel. Right? So I had to keep my stand. I had to walk for almost 2 hours back to the hotel and leave them there. Right? But I thank God that after that, they made sure they had their activities after they sent us back to the hotel. So I thank God for, you know, keeping me. And sometimes you got to stand on your faith. And you need to do that to tell the unbelievers that there is a God, even though you don't believe it. Correct? Yeah, so we thank God for that. So maintaining this faith and keeping it strong is important. Next is when you are in the family, you know, in the assembly of God, it is important, especially the family, right? If you can set aside time together to pray, read the Bible, you know, which, you know, we can see that it is really a great blessing for the home. And this is something that God will honor and bless. And truly, when we have anything, right, that destroys the fellowship that we have with God, it grieves the Holy Spirit, right? It will always hurt the Lord when we are not one as a child of God. And you can find that in John chapter 17, verse 21. The Lord Jesus' prayer is that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So your way we hold on to the Lord to keep on staying together, exhorting one another, not to neglect fellowship and coming together to worship the Lord, to keep on encouraging one another, is key, right, to this the way we fellowship with God. And we find that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's true that the devil will always create this to destroy, right, our fellowship with God, with our Christian brothers, and weaken our testimony, right? Loosening, our loss is that the moment we are trapped in it, we go away, we don't have that spiritual strength, okay? And your testimony, people become confused looking at you, you know? Instead of having a church, you end up alone, right? That is not good, okay? So this is important. So we need to cultivate this, the importance of your fellowship with God and your fellowship with your brethren. You can cultivate it by inviting Christian friends to your home, or build relationship with those who are of like-minded. And in this way, you actually help to bear one another's burden. Romans chapter 15, verse 1, it says, let's just go there. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. So truly, the responsibility where we also need to show those who are strong to help the weak, and those who are backslidden to bring them back to the fold. So this is something that we got to maintain and keep this going to preserve this relationship that God has given us. And our responsibility here is to cultivate good relationships. Okay, and it's equal for everyone. So preserving treasured relationship is also important, correct? And the Paul in Ephesians told the Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32 said, "Be kind, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Okay, so then there's when we move from the walk and our grow in the Lord, okay, the Bible also warns us that sometimes relationship you need to cultivate and be aware of. You find that in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, you see, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Okay. And then in Proverbs 17, verse 9, he says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." And in chapters, verse 17 of chapter 17, Proverbs, "A friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity." Okay? And then we read two more verses. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are like tasty tribes, and they go down into the innermost body. And verse 19 of chapter 18 of Proverbs, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. So God has shown in the book of Proverbs that the wisdom that we must have, right, and in building good Christian fellowship, and how we as our heart ought to do that, right, it's all stated here, how that we should not be tail bearers, we must learn to, you know, choose our friends properly. So that is things that we must watch, and when we are in this growth, we must take note of this. Next, I want to touch on the fourth part, is on our spiritual food. Okay, our life depends on the food that we eat for growth. In like manner, your spiritual life, it depends on the spiritual food that you are partaking, and you need it to grow and to prosper. You cannot expect to be coming to church and expect only a Sunday's food and eat one meal in 7 days. It doesn't work that way, right? So a Christian walk fundamentally is, how are you growing? Christianity is your growth in the Lord. Okay? So, first, you need to read the Bible, the Word of God that God has given to us. Here, you have the nutrients and all aspects, right, that you need. And how should we digest this food that is given to us? Okay? Reading, have a good understanding, right, is important. But surface level reading is not good enough. You need to go deeper, right? You need to, when you read and meditate on certain passage, right, that is speaking to you, you need to pray about it, right? You need to chew on the food that you're eating, right? Some food, if you don't chew enough, right, you get indigestion. So it's the same, okay? So the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and it can only be understood when the Holy Spirit, right, reveals to you and grant you that power and that understanding to see the meaning behind the word. Right? Sometimes the word will just jump up. I mean, we don't believe in like flick open the Bible and then point a finger like God is telling you. But sometimes when you open the Bible, the things that you read, God's just jumping up at you, right? And God is speaking to you. Right? So don't neglect that. When we talk about talking to God, having fellowship, it's not you keep on talking. What about God talking back to you, correct? And the Word of God is here, right? And God has given you the Word of God to speak back to you. And are you reading it? Are you listening to what God is teaching you? So it's important that when we are talking about our the trust in the Lord, the best place to learn is the Word of God. Okay? Next is the Spirit of God. Is the author. He will interpret the Word of God for you. And you need to really build that relationship with Him. So, when we talk about how can we do this, how can we build it up, right? The whole intent of this improving our spiritual growth, right, is for us to really get into the Word of God and understand it. In John chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus says that if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So the relationship of the Word of God, when we read and we learn, is for us to obey. And when we obey, right, it will translate into our love for God. How can we say we love Him if we don't even keep His word, right? It's not very complicated things. It is the truth of submitting to Him and seeing that Him telling us how we should obey His word. So this is something that we must always be reminded again and again. Secondly, fasting. Fasting is something that we must also do to improve and enhance your growth. Right, your spiritual prayer life and your spiritual life. In Psalms chapter 35, verse 13, As for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. Here King David is saying that he don't condemn his enemies. To him, he rather, you know, fast and pray and humble himself, you know, for God to really strengthen him. So, keep this in mind, that when you have the Word of God, another thing besides prayer and fasting and reading, you got to memorize the Bible, right? Because when in Psalms 119 verse 11, it says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." You got to hide God's word in you by memorizing them so that you don't sin against God. Right? So this is something that we have to practice. Okay? And practice memorizing. When you do it more often, it will help you. Okay? The same here, I was trying to learn my accordion, and I was trying to learn this song, entertainment, and then my teacher was telling me, "You got to spend 2 hours every day, listen to the song 40 times an hour until you listen until you feel like vomiting every time you hear the song. Then you really learn. You will remember it." So it's the same, right? In a sense that, you know, when being human, right? For a song, when it's getting too long, you will get tired. You cannot remember it. And then you, why cannot remember? How come other people can remember so easily? You never learn it enough, right? You never hear enough, right? You never try hard enough, right? So it's the same with the Word of God. Huh? Okay? So when we have that love for the Word of God, then you will realize that in Hebrews 4 verse 12, we all know, right? "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So here, God is really clearly telling us that why we need to spend a lot of time in His Word is for us to really know how God uses it to give us wisdom, even guide us, and so that we can be diligent, study to show that we are approved of God, right? As Paul told Timothy, right? In 2 Timothy 2:15. So that we as a child of God, we should not be ashamed and we rightly divide the truth that is in the Word of God. So, the food, the spiritual food that we have, will require us to do, right, our effort to follow up. And what is it that we should do when we are doing a study of the Word of God? When you take the Bible and you take a character in the Bible, you can study by character. And you will ask yourself, why God talks about this character and what God sees in this character that you are studying. And you ask yourself, what are the good and the bad points about this character? And then see his role that he played, that God is using him. And from there, you will learn more about it. So, it's good to use the Bible apps and listen to the whole Bible. But studying the Bible is different. So this is one thing that you can do. Okay, you can also study topics on faith, repentance, grace, fear of God, holiness of God. Through all this, you will realize that you are able to understand more of the doctrines of God. We have to be defending for the truth. Right, so there's one group that we call apologetics. They will go against all these atheists that is proving God is wrong, right? And they'll take them to task, right? In like manner, right? For us, what we know as truth, we must defend for it, okay? If you don't, then you are like allowing the enemy to do whatever he wants to you in your life, right? That is terrible, okay? Yeah, so knowing the doctrines of God and understand how to use it. That's one way, the characters. Next, you can... because the Bible has warned us that in the last days, they are itching ears, they are not interested in doctrines, and there are many of this, a lot more false doctrines, all will come, and we all know, Christianity is the most number of denomination churches, right? you have, you got a, because it's the truth, you got the worst of the worst, correct? And everyone claimed to interpret the word of God right. Okay, that's terrible, right? Okay, so then we can also do by, instead of by character, you do by book. Okay, so when we are looking at the book and see, let's say the book of Isaiah or the book of Psalms, right? Study the Bible by books. So what I suggest is you got to get good reference book and a good concordance. Then a good Bible guide, like for example the Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, or a good handbook. Even actually nowadays there's a lot of online one, but some of us still need the book, the hard copies. So in this way, when you study the Word of God, you can like, you look at how the life of Jesus Christ was. Everything that you do is reflected in the Old Testament. So the handbook will guide you and show you how to study. Right? When was his first miracle? How did it align? So this is key, right, for us to know more of our Lord. Okay. Then the next part I want to talk about is your testimony to others and your responsibilities. Okay. For a Christian, correct, God requires something from us. We turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. Verse 32. Okay. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Your testimonies to others. Okay? The Lord requires us to confess him in front of others. That testimony is very important, and we have a responsibility to do that. Right? So for us, the life that we have, the things that we do or don't, it is a testimony to all those people that you interact with every day. Right? They can see and they look at you and they will know whether you are serious with the life, the Christian life that you are living. Okay? I was sharing with my wife about we have Catholics, we have all kinds of denominations. So when we see, we want to organize anything, can you drink alcohol? Okay. So one group is, no problem, we drink alcohol and no problem. Right? Another one is, oh no, I only drink beer. Oh no, I only take red wine. Okay. So there are so many, the devil has stirred up so much until the holiness and the righteousness of God is distorted. But by all these worldly things. So for us, what the Lord teaches us, right, we hold on to it, we live up to it. Right? And if we are not supposed to be socializing, drinking all this beer, let's not do it. Right? Because God has called us to set a testimony. Okay? So I want to share the part about when I was in my army days. That time, they always have a yearly event. And one of the things they will do in the officers' kind of a ceremony, they will pick someone, right, whom they want to target, okay, especially someone who has got certain things which they don't like, and they will try and do something to him in front of everybody. So I was picked after working 8 years towards the end of my last year. They was at the annual ball for officers, okay, and they picked me because I don't drink any alcohol. Okay? So they forced me to eat all the chicken leg strikes that has been served that night. Okay? All I need to do is say, you don't need to drink, you just sip. Right? That's all they want me to break the stand that I'm in. Okay? So, the taste of the passion nose is an acquired one. I have not acquired it. Right? But however, I thank God I kept my stand. God is good. They didn't force me. So I praise God for that. So sometimes when you stand to what the Lord has given you, then people will know. They will not come and bug you. Can you imagine if you are the one that is compromising, then suddenly you want to testify. You say, how can you testify to me? You yourself will never live up to it, right? That's worse, right? So this is what we call the life that we have bears that responsibility and that testimony.
While the world can never get used to a dedicated Christian walking in the Word of God, but they sure will respect you. You know what I mean? They will not bother you then. Okay? They know that they cannot get you to tell lies. Okay? So this is the truth. And the other one is water baptism. Okay? Very sadly, the testimony to go into baptism to accept the Lord, I don't know, it's very sad, right? The denomination churches is twisting. No, no, you just need to believe, right? Water baptism is not important. But I show you Matthew chapter 16,
Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Here we have the verse that says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So do we read that? You have to be baptized to be saved, right? A lot of people trying to read it. No, you just believe. Then put a comma there, right? You'll be saved. Okay? But the Lord is very clear. The testimony that you have when you take the stand and accept the Lord, to confess and to go into water baptism, is a wonderful testimony, right? And the Lord will bless. And unfortunately, denomination churches has taken it as not important, right? No need. Okay. So here, we have seen the saints of old, how they have suffered all the persecutions for the gospel, for the word of God. And you can hear many testimonies of how they were burned, killed, right, torn apart. And every one of them is for the word of God, to be a testimony for God. Right? So we praise God for that. Now, then the other part, right? What is our responsibility? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and will rose again." And if we can go down to verse 18. "And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation." And verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, that be ye reconciled to God." So here, in verse 15, 18, and 20, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, you have a ministry to do. It's a ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ to really show to the world. You know, when the Lord was ascended, he asked us to go and preach into all the world, right? To bring souls in. So this is something that we, as a child of God, has got this responsibility to reconcile men to God. Right? Yeah, so this is what we call the soul-winning Christian is someone that will never fall. Right? If your life is all out to testify, you look at Andrew when the Lord called him, right? In John chapter 1, verse 41. The first thing you do is go home and call his brother, Peter. Correct? That's exactly what we must do. This is the kind of truth that we have. If we can, we will go and win as many souls as possible. So this is what we call, you, unfortunately, the context of our, we see the crusade in Africa, is, you know, how they will come when there's a crusade. Here in Singapore, you call crusade, I don't know how many we will get. Correct? So the lifestyle and the things that we have is something, but it should not stop us. Right? We should be like Andrew, always have the desire to bring everyone, right, into the truth that we have. Okay? And experience the salvation, the love of God, the life that God has given. So, truly, God made all of us to do our part. Huh? We are the branches that are supposed to bear fruit, bring more souls to Him. Okay? Then, then I'd like to touch on the part about the last part, our inner health. Okay? A real child of God, right? We go to the book of John chapter 14, reading from verse 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Amen. So, this is a wonderful promise that the Lord has given us, and the Holy Spirit has been given unto us. And, you know, the Lord says that he that is born of the Spirit, right, you need to be born again to have this. Right? And what we have gone through today about the importance of understanding the salvation of God, your part to play, to exercise your faith in Him, and then from there, how God deal with you, it's all talking about, at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit is in you. His inheritance is in you. And it is going to help you go through all the trials and testing that you have and help you to overcome, right? And do the work of the Lord. Okay? So, here, the presence of God in us, okay, speaking to us, dealing with us, is to trigger us, right? So that we can be aware that every time or any moment in our life when we are faced with trials and temptation, what should we do, right? We can read from John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Amen. So, the Holy Spirit in us will make us to be witnesses for God. Right? And it is... I still remember when I was listening to one Brother Abraham message, and he was talking about the miracle, having the faith to believe in God for a miracle, divine healing. And he was talking about his own son who was allergic to a drug, right? A medication. And once you take, you know, when you have that allergy, you literally, your whole body will shut down. And God called him, and he ran and prayed for the son, okay? And God showed him a vision and got rescued the son from dying. So, can you imagine if you have that kind of experience? You try to tell, witness this to someone about divine healing, and the person doesn't have the faith, correct? It is really something that we can only tell because of what God has done for us. And the Spirit speaks to us so loudly, it cannot be any other way, correct? But you try to testify and to tell, it is really the grace and the mercy of God, right? And God will do all these miracles, healing, for His glory, at His own time, in His own way, correct? It is God that will lift up His name. For us, it's the same word of God, it's the same promise of God. He said, if you believe, He will heal you, right? All you have to do is faith and believe. Okay? So, for us, as a believer, right, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us is really to quicken us and give us that wisdom, right, to be a good testimony for God. Okay? To give us the ability to lift up the name of God and let the Lord manifest His life through us. Okay? So, bear this in mind, brothers and sisters, that whatever weaknesses that you have, right, it is the Holy Spirit that will give you the strength and give you the ability to speak when the time comes. Why? Because whoever is challenging you, it is challenging God. Right? It's not you. So, I still remember this testimony that Brother Andrew was sharing about Brother Zima when they actually have in Chatama. This man came into the fellowship and then he believed, but he's not doing it right. He's beating up his wife, this and that, and then they were trying to counsel him, you know. Okay? So, he was taking a rod, right, and going towards Brother Zima to beat him up, you know, and smash his car up, you know. So that's the kind of, when we are doing the will of God, the devil is going to do all this method. It's just like Abraham, right, when he was doing all the miracle. And the guy, and in this kind of battle, what can we do? Call the police, right? You have to call on the Lord, right? It's God that he's challenging, not you. And thank God, you know, when Brother Zima prayed, right, the Lord intervened. So they just, it sometimes it's unbelievable the kind of things that can happen and still exist, and then yet they can come to the fellowship and then they can go bizarre, right? So this is how bad things is. So the more we enter into the holiness of God, enter into the presence, the more we dwell in the Spirit of God, the more the enemy cannot take it. You know what I mean? And they will stir up all kinds of things to destroy you. Okay, that's how the spiritual warfare works. Right? So for us, we all know that the Holy Spirit is always helping us. We can find in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, right? He will be making intercession for us, right? Romans 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also help our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Praise the Lord. Right? So we truly thank God for this help that He's given us in us. And it is truly His guidance. Right? And when we are always asking ourselves, how can we dwell on a closer walk with God? How can we be able to be stronger? You see, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it says here that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the might by His Spirit in the inner man. So, brothers and sisters, the help that we have is to build up our inner man, and it's the Holy Spirit that is going to strengthen us. And we all know the responsibility also lies with us to be wise, right? To build up, to tap, right? And to dwell on this, maintaining the fellowship with God, so that we can be strong and we can grow. Then are we able to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. So the ability to be able to manifest this and be able to bear these fruits, actually when God's, I give you the illustration of Abraham, when God says that I'm going to test you, right? Then he was very worried it was a test. And then in fact, the test was actually this couple behaving inappropriately in the congregation. And when he was in the midst of his preaching, right? And then when he was realized that was it, correct? So God said, speak whatever you say, it will happen to them. And Abraham says, I forgive you. Right? He passed the test. So when we are tempted, when we are challenged, correct, there will be time where certain authority, certain power God gave us, correct? But are we going to be like the two disciples? We call down fire and destroy this village that never welcomed the Lord? No, correct? At the end of the day, God came in His mercy and grace with compassion in Him to save everyone that is lost. It's just that when they keep on spurning God, right? At the end, it's judgment they are calling upon them. But for us, this infilling, the Holy Spirit in us, in the total plan of God, in the redemption work of Christ, is still with us, right? God is still on His mercy seat, right? When the judgment day comes, that is beyond us. But here, right, we must keep on remembering that God is working in us, and He wants us to continue, right, to bring redemption to the unbelievers about what God is doing. Look at the problems that the world is facing, and the wall, and it creates a lot of what we call religious disharmony. People are full of opinions, and everyone is just trying to, they know that something is not right. The number of earthquakes increase, right? The number of wars are happening almost everywhere, okay? Right? And we all know, right, from the book of Revelation, the four winds are being released in that sense, right? And everything is churning up, the tariff and all this. But for us, all the more, it draws us closer to God because He's coming for us. And we need to be able to understand the plan of God, how God is telling us that His coming is even nearer, right? The more we see all this uncertainty, all this wickedness, all this worldly things that is affecting mankind, the more we know God is coming. What is it? How should it affect us? When mankind starts to think of themselves, right? They start to be more selfish, more self-confident, more self-righteous, or admire themselves, the world will get into more of this conflict. Now everybody is trying to think that, better take care of me first, right? My own country first. I don't care about the rest. So this is something that the devil is stirring up against the move that the Lord is doing. And God is always the same. He's talking about His love for us and His Spirit in us. He wants all of us to have a taste, correct, of His fullness in you, His Spirit in you, to have that experience of what is it like when you surrender all to Him. So what is it that you all need to do? If you want to receive from the Lord what He has promised you, you got to present yourself and fully surrender yourself to the Lord, right? And submit to the Lord. You got to give up your self-will. You got to give up and surrender to the Lord. Okay? Then, from there, right, when we are willing not only to surrender your mind, your spirit, your ambitions to the will of God, and acknowledge that you are a child of God, this temple that you have, this body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It belongs to God. Okay? So from there, right, you need to do this, the first step. Second step, you need to ask. You need to. The Bible in the book of Luke, right, verse 9 to 11, we don't get what we want because we never ask. Correct? The Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 11. So, we need to seek. We need to knock. Okay? So that we can receive. So, you must have a desire. In my workplace, it is always a problem when the job scope change, the technology change, and we as lecturers, we have a hard time trying to catch up. But the moment the lecturer says, I don't want, I give up, right? I'm too old to learn. That's where disaster strikes. Yeah? So that kind of desire not to learn, not to recognize that the job scope change, now it's even worse with generative AI, everything in our job. Why we teach? In the past, when we teach a 2-year course, at least still got hope, you know, the job is still there. Now we haven't finished teaching, the job no more there. Okay? And the students is still in the course. So the world is changing very fast. And the devil, what he will do is, He will accelerate everything, right? Then, all the more when the devil increase in knowledge, in technology, productivity, it will destroy us because the moment you take away the empathy, right? The love, the kindness, technology can never replace that. Correct? So the social care to help one another. Everything will fail if you go by money, computers and technology. Right? Why? If you like the care and the love and to help the brother or help the community, right? The community will collapse. And the only thing that we must do is we have to know that. That's why God always calls us. If you want to have His Holy Spirit in you to work, then you also must learn to be obedient, right? To really understand that the Holy Spirit is given to us, it's actually to help us to be obedient to God. You go to Acts 5, verse 32. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God had given to them that obey Him. Okay? So, to be able to receive the Holy Spirit, right, when it comes into you, you will have to obey Him. So, your obedience is a key for a believer's walk. And last of all is the faith. Right? For the Holy Spirit is only can be received by faith. You can find that in Galatians 3:2. Paul was telling the Galatians, how did you receive? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Amen. So here, the Lord promised us and the Lord gave us that this great help. And we must know, right, to complete and to be a real Christian, right? These are the things that we have to know, our rules, our part to play. We are going to be used by the Holy Spirit to help, right, the lives of all our brethren. Okay, whether we can be a teacher, a guide, a comforter, a friend, a companion, or a helper. As a child of God, the Holy Spirit is using each and every one of us to help one another, right, to move forward for the glory of God. Okay, and by yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit and giving full control, the Lord will be able to use you for His glory. Praise the Lord. Right? Let's close with a prayer. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for thy great, wonderful words of promise, O God. Thank you for thy Holy Spirit, O God, that is always there to help us. Lord, we are so honored, O God, and so blessed, O God, to be a child of God. And we are really very blessed and feel very delighted, O God, that our lives, Lord, can be to be given back to you to serve you, O God, and to be a help to our brethren. Father, I thank you, Lord. May you bless, Lord, this message and reveal the words, Lord, to the hearts, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Bless you.